Taylor, we are live prime time on the Friday night in November the 8th. It's a crazy sports weekend, a crazy sports Thursday, and we're here to talk about it. If you want to join the ride, join the adventure, give Ray and Tay a call, 718-664-9098, like always. And you know what, Ray, we're going to have to get an email on. We're definitely going to have to get an email on today. So people have been writing to us, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. RayandTayToday.com is the website. Very interactive. We've got pictures, a lot of poll questions. Get involved. Join us in the discussions, the debates about almost every sport. We got them up there. And then, like always, Facebook and Twitter. You know, multimedia guys we are, so hit us up. Ray, let them know how we're going to break down this busy show, man. It's going to be fun this Friday night.
Yes, sir. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get into it. We've got a great Thursday, last night, college football. So we've got some college football games to talk about. We had two huge games in determining who's going to play for the BCS championship. College basketball starts tonight, so lace them up.
Lay them out, baby. Woo,
yes.
No Terps.
We've got some NBA talk. We've got some injuries in the NBA. We've got some surprise teams. We've also got NFL. We're going into week 10. Wow, can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
Season's more than halfway over. So we're going to talk about the top games in the NFL this week. We'll talk about the game last night where Minnesota took care of business, held home court. And you know what? Whenever teams that are out of it play each other, you really get to test, you know, to see what they've got. And Washington, I'll tell you what, Washington, we'll get into it. But that was an interesting game. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
even though you say to yourself, well, these two teams might not make the playoffs. I think there's a lot to be said about that game. But we'll get into some NBA talk, NFL talk, college basketball. So like Tay said, call us, join us. This is an interactive show, so you want to tweet at us, Facebook, call us, text us if you know our private numbers. Get in touch. And let's talk about
this. Yeah, we're not throwing
together.
Out the text on the line. But listen, this is the great thing. Today is the official tip-off, and, you know, we're celebrating Veterans Day on Monday, but we have the whole Veterans Weekend, and ESPN is great at the Armed Forces Classic that they have with Oregon playing Georgetown, and college basketball officially starts today. Over there at the Barclays Center out there in Brooklyn, you got number 18, Connecticut, against the Maryland Terps. Like I said, Oregon, Georgetown, number one, Kentucky's playing, number four, Duke's on ESPN2. So you can, you know, sort of see these teams who are, you know, preseason top 25, sort of, you know, get their feet wet, see some of the talent, see some of the great players. Look, out of the top 100 ESPN, you know, high school recruits, incoming freshmen, and they say it's one of the deepest classes of all time, if not one of the best, Connecticut, they've got five out of the Kentucky's got
five out of nine.
So
that's
nasty.
And they won a
with
national
Randall,
championship.
The Harrison brothers, crazy.
They won a national championship with basically the same formula a couple years ago with Anthony Davis and his crew. So, wow, let's see. I mean, they're up now. They're up by nine, Connecticut is, Kentucky is right now. But you know what'll be crazy? Not only that, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, throughout the year, but not only is it a case that there's so much high school talent going into college basketball, but these guys are going to shape the national championship picture because
you
figure Kentucky's rated preseason number one, right?
Yeah.
So that's
a
big deal. Duke is a preseason top five team. They're number four.
Number four.
And they've
yeah,
got
they're
a
up by 20 now.
Crazy recruit. Syracuse, number eight.
Oh, yeah. In
so
the ACC, Syracuse. That's
oh
what's
God.
Great. And Syracuse
and
is actually down six to Cornell right now. That's crazy.
Realignment, too. Can you imagine Syracuse playing Duke? Syracuse playing Carolina?
Yeah, it's going to be weird, but listen, the whole season, and we'll get some guests on to talk college hoops with you like we did last year when we had Steph Davis on. You know, right now, my Terps, man, at Barclays, they're down three, 67-64. You know, Maryland always seems to come play up in Brooklyn like last year, so they're down to UConn. But you know what's great that won my heart that I got to tell you? Providence, Boston College, right? Since Boston College went to the ACC, but they're playing right now at Providence. But it's on FX1, and the team, the broadcasting team, is our guy, play-by-play, Gus Johnson, and then our other guy, Miniman, Bill Rafferty. So, you know what?
Where
the
have
new
you
network,
been, Bill?
Yo, I can't wait. It's going to be
can
amazing
you,
just to...
Can I tell you a funny Bill Rafferty story? So,
you got
first
it.
I saw
on,
him
on.
I saw him in San Francisco one time at this Italian restaurant, this kind of old-school restaurant. He was, you know, at the bar and waiting for his wife and everything. And I said, Bill, you know, I said, I don't want to interrupt you, but, you know, you're great. You just make college basketball so entertaining. And I gave him an example of what he said on the air. And I said, one time, you know, we grew up as big St. John's fans, I was telling him. And I said, you know, St. John's played a lot of zone at the time, right? So he opened up the broadcast. You know how Bill likes to open up with, you know, St. John's, Miniman. So he opened up the broadcast with St. John's in a zone with elements of Miniman. So he had to get his Miniman in there, but they were playing
oh,
zone.
Oh, gosh.
I said,
listen,
Bill, you
it's
got
classic.
Me. You got me on that
and
one.
That's what's great about sports because, you know what, we can remember that. We can remember the Jerome Lane dunk, the old Big East stuff when he broke
send
the backboard.
Send it in Jerome!
And you know, and just these moments and the coverage and Dickie V and everybody going crazy. So this is what makes us happy about sports. And then let's talk about some other news before we get to the college football. Just the whole bullying and Jonathan Martin now, it's like versus the whole Dolphins team, is the stuff that we don't like about sports. Week 10, we just want to talk about the NFL, but we just got to touch on this because everyone's talking about it. You know, he has his lawyer now, David Cromwell, right? And basically they released a statement. And what bothers me is now you're hearing about players messing around or sleeping and bragging about sleeping with Jonathan Martin's sister. The whole team, multiple players were harassing and teasing and just bullying, whatever. So, you know, I say this to say that, you know, Bob Lee and ESPN, they always do the outside the lines. And it was interesting just to hear they had a poll. But over, like, 72% of the players that they sort of questioned and you know, anonymously said that they would rather have and play with Jonathan Martin than Richie Incognito. So I think where you've got good locker rooms in the NFL – I think you also have bad ones. And the Dolphins, and this might be a knock on Philbin, but they did lose Dansby, Bush, and Jake Long, three key veterans. And now you've got a locker room that might be led by some knuckleheads, and this is what happens when knuckleheads run the asylum. Those are my thoughts, Ray. You put in what you feel on this whole thing because it's going to still get worse and ugly before we're said and done.
Well, here's the ugly truth. The ugly truth is somebody said it on TV. They said it's like going into a kitchen. You know, you almost don't want to really know what's going on because it's never quote unquote kosher, right?
Right, in a restaurant. Yeah.
Football locker rooms are one of those last bastions of just testosterone, and I'm not saying this justifies anything. I'm just saying this is a general observation, that it's one of those right. last bastions of just boys being boys, men being men. And that's fine, but there's got to still be limits, right? So in these locker rooms, because a bunch of different things are at play here, right? These guys are going at it, so there's this normal notion of, like, rookies and veterans. That's one dynamic, right,
yeah.
where the rookies are supposed to pay, you know, and sometimes they jam them with, like, a $10,000 bill. Well, you know
oh,
what?
Yeah. One guy
normal
said 18,000 once he paid for
right.
something.
So normal people can't deal with this, but this is something that the NFL's done forever. So you have rookie versus older people. Then you have this dynamic of racial element, right? Because Incognito's white and Jonathan Martin is black. So then you have that going on. Then you have this notion of hazing and getting somebody tough. And then you have this notion of toughening somebody up. And all of these things probably take place in every locker room. I guess the question is to what extent and limits, because everything that I just named here goes on in every locker room. And so it's just a matter of typically either the coaches or the leaders will do something to regulate and say, all right, enough is enough.
Police
You can go to a certain, you know, you can go to a certain level, but you can't cross it. So apparently in this locker room, there was a little bit of crossing that, but let's not fool ourselves to thinking that what happens in Miami isn't happening in 31 other locker rooms. So to some degree, you know, society's like, oh my God, these guys are acting so barbaric. And, you know, maybe to society that is, but this is the NFL, you know, and the polish and the outward facing, you know, protect the shield and everything. That's one side of the NFL. But this is another side of the NFL, and if you haven't been in a sports locker room, and if you haven't been, whether it's even at the, you know, at the high school level, at the college level, this is locker rooms, and sometimes some
high school sports we would haze each other. There's
stuff goes on, you know.
Yeah, there's no sweet talk going on. It's like, you know, it is what it is. So anyway, look, we'll talk to you as it plays out. We don't want to sort of beat you over the head with it. And, you know, I just wish the Dolphins, you know, I hope – I just want the truth to come out. That's all I can say. You know, I want the truth to be done. Yeah, they definitely can't handle the truth. And, you know, it seems like they can't – a lot of people can't – well, speaking of the truth, you feel sorry for the, what, now 0-8 Buccaneers. It's official. Doug Martin is on injured reserve, out for the rest of the season. So that shoulder is not going to heal. We got Jay Cutler coming back. Looks like E.J. Manuel's coming back to start as well against my Steelers. We might have to talk about that a little bit later. And what I find interesting is that we're hearing, you know, this is a sort of parallel in two sports, back spasms and back pain. We hear LeBron starting to show some, and then also Dez Bryant. And as physical and exciting as Dez Bryant is, him and even Megatron, the last couple of years, both these guys get so banged up. And this is in a league where we're sort of soft on quarterbacks and receivers now compared to a Jack Tatum, you know, Lester Hayes, you know, different type of NFL Ronnie Latte. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And this is a one note that I don't know if you saw this. Your boy is going to be honored on Sunday as an honorary Niner, Terrell Owens. What do you think about that? They're going to kind of honor him. I don't know. I think it's nice. I feel like the league has forgotten about Owens and Moss in certain ways, but more so
is
Owens.
Jeff Garcia going to be in the ceremony?
Oh, Ray, come on.
Because he had a fight with his own quarterback. His quarterback
I know. But listen, Terrell Owens is someone is a Hall of Famer and needs to be honored. I don't think anybody No diss to Jeff Garcia, but I don't think he's getting honored anytime soon. But I'm going to tell you this. We have to honor our own picks and our own mistakes and say congrats to a friend to the show. Shout out to the Stanford Cardinal and Coach David Shaw, who was on our show, you know, giving us a little NFL draft preview, for Stanford handling Oregon. And Ray's going to give you his thoughts on it. 26-20, number 5 beats number 3, and Stanford is going crazy. I'll let you break down the game, but Ray Tay and George Reister, Oregon alum, we all picked it wrong. So we got to give Stanford some love because they handled their business. What'd you think about it? And what'd you think about Gaffney? 45-157.
Well,
wow.
First of all, let me put it in a song to you. I'm sorry, so sorry, to Coach Shaw, because he gave us the Stanford preview, and he said, you know, it starts with our defense, and their defense was amazing. To stop this Oregon team in its tracks, I mean, they had them down what was it, 23-0 at the end of three. So if it weren't for a couple of special team gaffes, especially the blocked field goal for a touchdown and the ensuing kickoff that was recovered, the onside kick that was recovered, this game, 26-20, is not – this game wasn't that close. This game was not that close. And the most amazing – so that was one stat, the fact that Stanford held Oregon passing game. Marcus Mariota had a lot of fourth quarter garbage stats, so he ended up with 250.
Oh, and we got to say he had the sprained knee, right? Sprained LCL,
the sprained MCL, so hopefully he'll be okay.
MCL.
You know, he still has an outside shot at winning the Heisman. So
No. He. You really think so? I don't think so anymore.
Well, look,
I think it said goodbye last night.
Yeah, but that's not to say what happens if Famous Jameis has a bad game, right?
Okay, that's fair, right? No, that's fair. That was a bad performance.
But it was at number five Stanford, right? It wasn't like he lost to a 1AA school, an FCS school. So
good point. Yeah, I mean they'll all be at the table still. You're right. It's still open. I'll say that.
So heal up, and we want to see you soon. But defense held this Oregon rushing attack, which averages close to 350 yards a game on the ground. They held them to 62 yards.
Ridiculous.
That's really unbelievable. And on the other side, Stanford, now your boy Gaffney was unbelievable, 45 touches. Now you know he's going to be sore all week and next week. Even if you are 20 years old, you're going to be sore. But here's the thing. Stanford ran the ball. If you add everything, if you add Hogan's 8 carries, Wilkerson's 6 carries, Stanford ran the ball 66 times.
And isn't that an indictment? But isn't that an indictment on Oregon and the way they play? Because Stanford is more like a SEC team. So now Oregon, they almost sort of shot their whole program in the foot for 2 to 4 years at least. I really do. I think this
really?
Is a bad blow and a bad loss. Yeah, I do, because guess what? This is 2 years
Stanford
in a row.
Stanford has their number. It's a contrast.
Right, they have
style.
Their number, but isn't it the style of play? David Shaw recruits.
Yeah, it's a contrast of style that Helfrich needs to figure out a way how to beat this team, how to go slug in a slug.
But Stanford's like Alabama, wouldn't you say? Stanford, in terms of a Pac-12 team, Stanford is the closest thing to a big, powerful, sort of fast, athletic SEC team like Alabama. And to me, Stanford makes it look like Oregon would not be ready, yo. They wouldn't be ready for Bama.
And by the way, Stanford is more athletic than you give them credit for. Not you.
Oh, great. Ty Montgomery, all those boys. The defense is amazing.
Stanford can play. These kids can play. And David Shaw, gosh, if they didn't have that loss at Utah, they'd
be
playing for
a
national championship.
Exactly. That's going to kill them.
And like we said off air, this loss was – this was 26-20, and I hope that it doesn't come down to people look at this game, because really this game should be 26-10 or 26-7 or 26-3.
Yeah.
They blew them out. They were the best team.
They spanked them.
By leaps and bounds. It's just that Oregon had – they earned it, but they had a pretty amazing fourth quarter to score 20 points. I mean, especially on special teams. So
yeah,
this
block
Stanford
field, yeah,
team,
I mean, that was,
you know what, on their best
they block
day,
a 40-yard field goal attempt. That was
this. I'm
well,
gonna
how
have
about
to
this?
Say that this Stanford
what?
Team, on their best day, might be the second best team in the country. I mean, they're like Alabama Junior.
Well, this is the question, right? And let's talk about the other game before we sort of piggyback them both together. Number five, and then you've also got number six, who could be, you know, let's say both of these teams could be better than Ohio State, because Ohio State's schedule in the Big Ten is kind of soft. But number six, Baylor, what was most impressive about this win, 41-12 over number 10, Oklahoma, it was, you know, Baylor was at home. The Baylor Bears were at home. But, Ray, this type of dominating defensive effort, the way they locked Bell and everybody, and Oklahoma, you know, starts off with the safety, and for a while they were on five, you know what I mean? But to me, the Baylor Bears, they have proven, number one, they can score on anybody. But when you put forth that type of defensive effort, to me, Baylor could leapfrog even Stanford, and games remaining, Texas Tech, Texas, and Oklahoma State, out of Florida State, and all the other teams, even Bama, Yeah, they right in the Big 12 championship, but they have the highest, you know, ranked teams still ahead in their schedule. So let's talk about. I mean, this is what was crazy though. When you see what your boy did, Linwood, 23 carries for 182. He's nasty. That was ridiculous.
Yes, averaging 8 yards a carry is unbelievable. This is how old school I am. Baylor, if they were to do this and go to the national championship game and maybe even win it, but let's say just go to a national championship game, two things came to mind. Number one in college football was Peyton Manning, how he was really a four-year player at Tennessee, worked hard, did his thing. You knew he was going to be a prospect. Ryan Leaf and he were fighting out for who would be 1 and 2, number one overall pick, and they win the national championship the year after with T. Martin as their quarterback. So I'm thinking RG3 is the quarterback at Baylor, puts Baylor on the map, and yet they're not going to win, you know, anything with him. But then with this you know, quarterback they have now, Bryce Petty, they have a chance to win. And then I go real old school. In college basketball, you know how we were always looking at Ralph Sampson like he was the truth. And Ralph Sampson in 4 years couldn't go to the championship, couldn't go to the Final Four, and then Olden Polonies, 83, the year he leaves, Virginia finally goes close to the Final Four.
You're right. Those are two good points. And, you know, it's so funny. It happens in sports, especially in college sports. And so now this is the question. Number 6 is going to move up. Number 5 is going to move up. Oregon drops down. Now, Florida State's probably going to win, you know, who they play, because we're going to talk about Alabama, LSU.
Florida State plays Wake Forest.
Right, they play Wake Forest, who, okay, you know, not a great ACC team, but they can score a little, got a little, you know, a little bit of a game. But basically, Florida State, let's say they win. If LSU could ever upset Bama, then this could get real interesting to see.
Oh, that would be
Ohio State, Stanford, Florida State, or Baylor, who gets number one? You know, probably it's going to be Florida State, but just this thing could just go wide open. So let me ask you this. Basically, does Baylor at Waco, Texas, does Baylor have a shot? Can they still play for the championship?
I think so.
If they run the table.
I think so, look, Stanford will always have that one loss, unfortunately, Utah.
And a bad loss.
And in back-to-back weeks, Baylor will have played number 10, Oklahoma, who is currently number 25, Texas Tech, and who is currently number 14, Oklahoma State. So they have cupcakes up until now, and they have cupcakes after that, TCU and Texas. Although, preseason TCU and
Texas
were
is on a rise, though, too.
Yep.
Texas is 5-0 in the Big 12. You know that, right? 5-0 in the Big 12, Texas.
And they have a Big 12 championship game to play. So if they're undefeated and run the table, the only question is, you're assuming Alabama, we're holding a spot in the national championship for Alabama. Until somebody until somebody knocks off the king, they're the king. So the question for Baylor, I think because Stanford lost, that Stanford's out of the equation.
Leapfrog Florida State.
If it's up against Baylor. Well, Baylor might not leapfrog them today. They might leapfrog them.
No, I'm saying when it's all said and done.
If Baylor wins out, and if Florida State wins out, and if Ohio State wins out, I think Baylor has a better schedule than Ohio State, so they jump Ohio State. So then it becomes Florida State versus Baylor, and I don't know, the computers might be working overtime, but it might depend on the ACC championship versus the Big 12 championship, who their opponent
is in that
game.
Baylor would have played more ranked teams. And Florida State would have played, at the time, two higher-ranked teams. But is it, like, depth of schedule or just the two, you know, the rankings? So I guess that's going to be on the computers and the eyes of the coaches and the voters. So, listen, we'll see. So let's talk about this game, though, because this is the reality. We're getting ready to move on. We'll talk about the hoops and the NBA and stuff like that in a second. But let's talk about LSU, number 13, at number 1, Alabama, Saturday night. 8 o'clock. What are you thinking? Is it McCarron's, Mettenberg? Is it Yelding? Who's going to be the star that sort of makes this game something magical or special? Or can Bama just blow LSU out? Because the question is to me: can LSU score on Bama and score enough, and can Yeldon have a big game on LSU? Because this isn't the best LSU team, but it's
no.
a good one.
No, but T.J. Yeldon is the
he's
real deal. He's right in that line of succession behind, you know, Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson and all these backs that Nick Saban walks into their living room as a 17-year-old, you know, high school kid and just charms them to coming to Alabama and just coaches them up and puts them behind a monster offensive line. So I think this game is going to be close for a while, but ultimately I like Alabama to pull away. I like this, and this game's in Tuscaloosa too.
Yeah.
Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Upset for Hill and Beckham making some big plays. Your boy Beckham,
no.
NFL wide receiver.
Beckham can do his thing. Hill, Zach Mettenberger, look, he's a veteran. He's got picked off 7 times though, so he's had a bad. His last 2 games have been subpar for him. But Zach Mettenberger is he's a heck of a quarterback, and he's got a lot of experience. I just like A.J. McCarron, especially at home.
The veteran.
Especially with his, you know, with T.J. Yeldon back there. His receivers aren't great, but they're good enough, Norwood and White. I just think that this team in the second half, so if you had to put me on the hook, and I know you like
give
me,
a score.
Give me the scores. I don't love
score.
The scores. But I think LSU pulls away in the second half. I think they win 31.
Give me Bama.
Bama pulls away in the second half. I think they win
31-23. I'll say this. Hill, he's even got more yards, not more yards rushing than Yeldon, but, you know, more yards than a lot of running backs in college football, you know. And I like Zach is doing, Mettenberger.
Zach Mettenberger.
I always mess up the boy. I like him. He's almost got 2,500 passing yards, 19 touchdowns. Yes, he's got the interceptions, but Beckham is legit. I think LSU goes down there and gives Bama the biggest scare of the season. But you know, I think Bama's running the table. So I got Bama winning 30-26.
Okay, so you got to
roll tide. Roll Tide.
Even though
I think it's gonna be a good season,
predict somebody would knock them off and an SEC team would not be playing for the national championship. But clearly,
but it's not happening, Jack.
It's not happening yet. It's not happening yet.
No, it's definitely, you know, not yet. So listen, before we rock and roll, let's take a quick break and then let's bounce back with Rante talking NBA hoops. We'll be right back.
Hey. We're back, and back to talk some NBA, where the one and only undefeated team in the association is your Indiana Pacers at 5-0. I mean, there's
without
a couple
Granger.
Teams at 4-1, Golden State and
yeah.
San Antonio, but 5-0,
okay, so he's up
Indiana
there.
Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, OKC's 3-1. So
right. Well, I'll tell you this. For me, about the Pacers, Granger is, you know, not back yet. We'll be back soon. I think they said 3 to 4 weeks. They're beating Toronto right now, 54-46. What I like about this team is, you know, George Hill missed a couple games, but they got C.J. Watson off the bench. They've got Sciola. They've got Copeland. They've got Miani or whatever.
Ian
Mahimi. They've got Stevenson now, who, because of last year's development and the playoffs and playing LeBron and playing so many minutes and starting most of last season, he's now a legit player who is a solid two guard. So George Hill's back in the lineup tonight. I think that this team, the only question you might have overall is point guard play. But when it comes to them banging up against Chalmers and Norris Cole, I think the Pacers are going to be okay. The difference from last year and their battle, their Game 7 battle of the Heat and Pacers, is this year the Pacers have a bench. And I think their bench is not only better than Heat's, but it can be a difference maker because if Granger can score off the bench and you've got Sciola and these guys that can eat up fouls and then C.J. Watson, Orlando Johnson's playing well at the two guard. I think the Pacers this year, Ray, they could stop the three-peat and they might even shock the Heat. I didn't pick
Look,
it that way.
For the last
I gotta respect
2 years,
it.
You could argue that other than San Antonio, who took the Heat to 7, that the Pacers were the next best, the next most difficult matchup for the Heat. And the Pacers were up and had them on the ropes 2 years ago. They played well last year, and last year was without Danny Granger. And I tell you what, the emergence of Paul George better than Danny Granger, and Danny Granger's pretty good. But Paul George
might be top 5 players in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, right now after 5 games, he's the MVP. So, yeah. And I voted for, you know, and I said preseason Chris Paul, but Paul George is just doing everything. And he's 6'9", he can play both ends of the court. So and like you said, Danny Granger in the playoffs is a big deal because the playoffs were a little too much for Paul George last year. I think that he's going to be much, much better this year in the playoffs. The question is still point guard play. So I'm not worried about the big man play. I'm not worried about the star factor. I'm worried about getting an outside bucket when you need it because Deshaun Stevenson, not a great shooter, and then their point guard play. C.J. Watson is a great backup. George Hill, the combination of George Hill and C.J. Watson, I'm a little bit worried about that in playoff time. But I tell you what,
yeah.
I would love
Don't
to be a
Pacers
fan
Lance
right
now. Boy, Lance Stevenson for Brooklyn, yo.
New York City record. He's the all-time. I think he broke Kenny Anderson's record for the best.
Yeah.
At
Lincoln.
All-time
and remember on our show, our boy Ian Bailey from ESPN New York, he said on our show he used to cover him at Lincoln. And, you know, come on. What's amazing, though, that I really like is that people don't realize off the bench, if you've got – and even this young kid, Solomon Hill, starting to play quality minutes with Granger being out. But they've got people who can score. C.J. Watson can make buckets. Granger and Sciola can score. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to get – play this is going to get interesting. And like you said, I went with Durant. You went with CP3. But Paul George, LeBron – you know, maybe you throw in Melo and whoever else, this is going to be a really fascinating MVP race because Paul George, ladies and gentlemen, he's here to stay. So let me ask you this real quick. Chandler goes down. You're hearing talks of Bynum at, 26, potentially retiring. I don't know if he's just not feeling good or the knees aren't working. I mean,
we got a
what's going
Bowie
on with
situation?
These big men? What's going
you
on with the big
what?
Man in the NBA, man?
I got to say something. The body, just like I tell people, the body was not meant to run a marathon, and especially not more than once. 26 miles a long way. Similarly, if you're 7 feet tall and weighing 250 to 300 pounds and all that pounding on your knees and all that pumping of your blood all throughout your body, that's not natural. The body was not meant to go up and down the court and play, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 minutes.
It's not natural.
It really isn't. And so you hate to see it, and I hate it, but it's happening over and over and over again. These big men are not able to stay on the court. It feels like when was the last time you heard of a guard retiring, like a 6-foot guard retiring because of, you know, health reasons? I mean, the only guy that really comes to mind, you know, and he even had a decent career, Brandon Roy, right, because his knees were just shot.
Right, and he's more of a
two-guard,
but you're right.
But I'm just saying, when's the last time you heard of a guard retiring because his body broke down? But big men.
No, it doesn't happen, right, the big men, especially like their feet, like Rick Smith's and all these guys with the feet, you know. Sam Bowie. Wow. So let me ask you this.
Greg
when you
Oden.
Look at Greg Oden, but hey, he's back in the league. So
right, back in the
know.
League. Let's hope he stays in the league. Let's hope he can stay healthy. Amari Stoudemire might have to retire at 29, but that's knee injuries and microfracture, that might be different. But yeah, big men just seem to be falling much more than little quote unquote, you know, right? Little NBA players, smaller NBA players.
Well, listen, for our Knicks fans that listen, Knicks are up 61-49, and it was an ugly loss the other night at the Garden. They were getting booed when Tyson Chandler went down. He's out 4 to 6 weeks. You know, I guess a partial break of the fibula, that's horrible. I've been there before with the fib, and it's no fun. The Knicks aren't going to make any major moves. Bonyarny's, you know, playing tonight a little bit more. And you mentioned Amari, you know, and I think it's interesting because the Knicks really are trying to sort of get healthy and get all their minutes and their rotation together, and then this sort of happens and he goes down, Tyson Chandler. And, you know, tonight they start a crazy small lineup with, you know, Priglione, Felton, you know, Shumpert, Mello, and Bonyarny. I mean, that is beyond small. Amari and Kenyon Martin are still healing. I mean, what do you think the Knicks should do?
Let me talk to the Knicks fans right now. I'm one of them.
That's depressing.
So if you want to be a glasses half full guy, this is what you say to yourself. You say to yourself, you know what? We're not going to be the one or two seed realistically. We were the two seed last year, but we're probably not going to be the one or two seed this year. So we're probably going to be 3, 4, 5, and really 4, 5 is you know, basically 4 or 5 is a difference of one game in home court, but you don't get to play you get to play a team basically of your caliber. So don't worry about the seeding. Worry about getting healthy and worry about trying to have a rotation that works in the playoffs. So if you want to think glasses half full, Andrea Bargnani started and played, so far has played 24 minutes, and he's 8 for 19, 2 threes, and he's got 18 points and 6 rebounds, and we're only 8.5, we have 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter. So Bargnani might end up with 30. And so the one thing that we were worried about when Tyson Chandler was healthy was which rotation is Woody going to go with? Is he going to go with Bargnani at the 4 and slide Mello to the 3? Is he going to start Mello and start, you know, J.R. Smith or some other, you know, smaller, you know, swing man at
and
the 3?
And J.R. returns against San Antonio.
When he returns, right, exactly.
Sunday, yeah.
So here's the thing. So if your glass is half full kind of guy, you're thinking to yourself, okay, we get Bargnani some confidence. We get him scoring. We get him a look that – A totally different look that the Knicks have. Now, the Knicks are going to have trouble on the boards, but he's coming back. He's, our boy's coming back, right? Tyson's coming back. And then if you can get Kenyon Martin and Amari Stoudemire healthy and through the season, then you have a really potent, you know, front court with, you know, offensively, it's not just Carmelo. To me, I think the blessing in disguise here is Andrea Bargnani. Is you really get to
get
his confidence up. Woody gets to understand how to use him in the rotation and how to get some offense out of him in the front court.
And you could also say with that mindset, is also being a blessing, is that the Knicks are going to not have – are actually going to be more offensive, but – have more weapons and people trying to score. And guess what? Maybe without the defense, they're going to have to try to outscore people. And so if you can get Shumpert going and then you get JR coming back and you've got Bonyarny, Amari, and Mello, and you've got multiple guys putting in, you know, hoops, and maybe Raymond Felton gets a little bit, you know, more aggressive as a point guard. I mean, tonight Ray's, you know, got 12 points already, you know. So I think you're right. You know, 12 points, 5 assists, I think we're going to be okay. It's just some nights the matchups won't go in our favor. But in the East, I guess Bonyarny, you know, look, he's not going to really, you know, stop Lopez and Hibbert per se. But, you know, yeah, you throw in Martin and you get some fouls. Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm just happy that I don't know about Chris Smith being on the 15-man roster, but I'm happy my boy Torre Murray from Summer League is on the roster. You know what I'm saying? You
Summer
don't know
League.
About no Torre Murray. That's my man.
Hey,
I just want to ask you real quick. Your boy, the old school, like, so we got a good game with Minnesota and Dallas, two teams that are playing pretty well early on, but your boy Vince Carter got suspended again, man. It's like Vince is getting a little feisty in his old age, you know? Getting caught up
in
some stuff.
He used to be a lover, and you know, people said he didn't have any heart, and now he's getting a little feisty, getting a little hot under the collar.
You got to like this Minnesota team, though, Ray. I'm telling you, Minnesota is somebody to watch out for. Rubio and Martin in the backcourt. Love, Brewer, the defensive three, and Pekovic. I like what they can do. And if you can ever, you know, and listen, we got to give a shout-out to Robbie Hummel, who's back in the NBA, made it, you know, from Purdue, playing minutes. You know, and they've got, you know, these guys off the bench, Barea and, you know, Chavez and Derek Williams from Arizona starting to play. If you get something from Shabazz and Gorgui Dieng, this Minnesota team is going to be tough. T-Wolves are not for joke.
Let me ask you about last night's game, though. I want to get your opinion here.
Oh, yeah.
So, very interesting stories, subplots, you know, who's going to face who in the conference finals. So you have the Heat beating the Clippers, and then you have the Lakers going into Houston and beating the Rockets without Kobe, 3-3. So let me hear your thoughts on those four teams.
Well, I like what Houston is doing so far, and they've been, you know, it's about spacing the court, and Beverly, you know, is coming back and, you know, missed a couple of games or whatever. I think Houston's going to be fine, but what L.A. did was showed they basically went to hack a Howard, and I think he might have been 5-for-17 from the free throw line or something crazy, but it can work. But Harden is going to have to be the dominant scorer in the end of the game, and I think you got to go to Howard in the early and middle part of the game. Houston's going to be fine. The Lakers, they can do this. They can some nights with this roster without Kobe, Jody Meeks and Nick Young, these guys can put up 20 points and Gasol and you know Jordan Hill, they can score and beat some teams. But without Kobe, there's no realistic anything except for 500. The Heat Clippers, great game, great battle. Blake Griffin's dunk, oh my goodness. Bosch got posterized. But the Heat win the game. And so, to me, I still, as much as I even, you know, I have the Clips making it, you got them winning, I got them losing to the Heat, the problem I still have with the Clips, even though you've got Dudley and Redick and Crawford, at the end of the games, will Griffin and Jordan, will one of them be able to make free throws and offensively give you anything in the stretch of the fourth quarter, or will Doc Rivers' motion offense sort of defuse that? And you'll just have, and you'll get weak side shots from, you know, different shooters, and they'll spread out the floor with shooters. And will that be the thing that sort of gets them through the game?
I'm worried about the Clippers' D. I'm worried about the Clippers buying into Doc Rivers' system. And granted, it's only been six games.
They better soon.
And they're 3-3.
They're giving up a lot of points this year.
They got to figure out, you know, here's the problem with people that aren't naturally, you know, defensive-minded.
Yeah,
it's hard to just turn it on, and it's hard to start trusting, you know, your team, right? So if you look at their roster, DeAndre Jordan can rebound, Blake Griffin can rebound, but they're not considered elite defenders. Dudley is okay. J.J. Redick is not a defensive player at all. And then off the bench, Jamal Crawford's not a defensive player. And, you know, Chris Paul can play some D, obviously. So, you know, you get Darren Collison actually can defend. He's a little small. He can defend. Byron Mullins, Willie Green. Right? So the problem is you don't have a Kevin Garnett, a Kendrick Perkins, you know, people that just live.
It's Dudley and Mullins.
Right?
Those are the two. You're going to have to count on Dudley and Mullins to really play some clutch end-of-game physical minutes. I really believe that.
They're not your team leaders, though. So let's see if those guys can be contributors on defense and help spark, you know, a defensive mindset. You know, to me, it has to come from Chris Paul or Blake Griffin. You know, they have to really step up and you know, slap, you know, go Duke style, slap the floor and just commit to defense.
Listen, some people can, you know, we're going to jump to the NFL, but some people could have said and can say that CP3 as a point guard, you look at Parker and some of these other guys that have, you know, done things and won. CP3, some people are trying to, you know, say coming into what, year 10, that he's might be a little overrated, Ray. I mean, let's be honest, he's only won one NBA playoff series down in New Orleans.
He's got the roster,
you know?
Now. He's got the coach.
Okay.
He's got the roster.
This is sort of CP3's year, man. Everybody wants to say, oh, he's the best, but, you know, you look at Rondo and Westbrook, and Derrick Rose and you know, Tony Parker, these guys have won games, and Parker's got jewelry, Rondo's got jewelry. So,
yep.
You know, if we're being fair, we got to, you know, sort of those point guards, Parker's, you know, hey, Parker played his butt off. You know, and maybe
absolutely
if he wasn't
right.
pulled out or a little banged up in game seven, maybe they beat him. So, look, let's talk about Thursday night football. The Washington Redskins and Minnesota Vikings having rough seasons, but they decided to give us, on a night where everybody's watching college football and two great NBA games, well, the Redskins and Vikings decided to give you a pretty entertaining football game on NFL Network. And Minnesota wins 34-27. The Redskins were sort of dominating, and then they just got handled by the Vikings in the second half. And when you look at the stats, you're like, wait a minute, Vikings didn't even do anything. AP, two touchdowns for 75 yards. You know, he's, you know, throwing to Carlson and Simpson and Patterson, but nobody had any big stats. So, you know, Ponder gets hurt. I mean, to me, I'm sort of amazed that Minnesota and the Redskins allowed Minnesota to come back and win, but they even were able to put up 34 points. Are you sort of more disappointed in the Redskins losing this game? Or, and these, granted, are two teams that are not really doing so great but could still do something, more so the Redskins because of their NFC East and the record. But these two teams were in the playoffs last year. I don't know.
Yeah,
what,
I'm very
what,
disappointed
what about
in Minnesota. But I told you that Christian Ponder wasn't the real deal. And unfortunately, he got hurt, so I don't want to talk about him poorly
yeah.
because he got hurt.
Played pretty decent, though, when he was in.
He did. But ultimately, you got to be disappointed if you're the Redskins because you have a chance in that horrible
3 points in the second half, right?
You have a chance to win the division and go to the playoffs. So, if you're the Redskins, you're very disappointed. And, in fact, you know what? I'll turn the tables on you, right, because I got this email. We said we need to get to email. So unfortunately, for the older emails, we'll get to you too, but let's start with the last one. We just got this one today. So we got Sam from Bethesda. Now, see, when you say Sam, is that Samantha or is it Samuel, right?
Yeah,
is that a man
some,
or a woman?
We got
I don't
some
know.
Ladies that listen
That's
to
true,
the show.
That's true, especially D.C., right? D.C., Pittsburgh, Oakland, like there's just as many women fans as there are male. So Sam from Bethesda is asking, and this is apropos of the game last night, has RG3 lost his mojo? And then second question is, will the Redskins make the playoffs? So first of all, thank you, Sam, for that email. And thank you,
Sam,
everybody,
definitely.
For sending emails. Sorry that we've been backed up. We get so fired up on the show. But we'll
yeah,
start
no,
getting
it's
to
hard
emails
to get
again.
To it. Well, I'll say this. I'm going to answer real quick so we can get to these other games. RG3 is still putting up stats. He didn't have any picks. Had three touchdowns, 7.6 yards a pass, 281 yards. I think it's more about the balance of running Morris. So Morris had a great game, and that's what was doing so much for them. And then it sort of slowed down. You can't get 3 points in the second half, but 26 carries, 139 yards, you know, he's doing his thing. But people will say, Griffin, hey, listen, Griffin, you know, he got you 44 yards rushing. So, you know, on seven carries. So that's not even bad for him. I just think, honestly, it's the defense more so this year than it was last year. Their defense would help keep them in games. And this year, you know, here, case in point, you know, you're playing the Vikings. They're nobody's offensive explosive team. And in the second half, you basically let the Vikings, you know, get 20 points on you. And your offense only gives you three. So both people failed in the second half. But, I mean, the Redskins defense failed them. And they've had a rough year.
So you
I can just say that.
So you don't think RG3's lost his motive? Because he was the golden child last year. And now people are questioning his leadership and people are questioning his ability to
I can't go there. I think everything's fine with that. I'll say this. They were 3-6 last year, right? And what they do, they came back, won the division, and, you know, made it to the playoffs. So why can't they do it this year? You know, the Cowboys and Eagles aren't running away with this. So the Redskins are still alive. They're still alive.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
All right. Well, let's talk about these
and
games.
And I think the Cowboys are going – yeah. I think, we'll talk about what I think the Cowboys are going to do this week. So the NFL, like you said, it's week 10. Shocking. Why don't you give everybody the bye weeks, and then we'll start with the first game. This is for fantasy and just for, you know, people, NFL fans, period, just knowing who's on the bye weeks.
Yeah, so everybody adjust your fantasy rosters accordingly. Cleveland, Kansas City, New England, and the New York Jets are on bye this week. So get all those players on those teams
Tom
out of
Brady. Yeah, Jamal Charles, Ridley. It hurts because I don't have Brady this week. And I'm going to tell you this real quick. Well, I'll save it for when we talk about our fantasy studs and duds at the end. So I guess right off the bat, we got to talk about the Detroit Lions at the Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler's back. It's a division game. It's really a battle for first place in the NFC North. And I think both these teams are playing well. I mean, look, the Bears, you don't want to wish this on anybody, but they knock out Aaron Rodgers. They get a big win in Green Bay on Monday Night Football. They're 5-3, and, you know, so are the Packers and the Lions. I think what's amazing is that both these teams this year, they're running the ball. The Bears offensive line with two rookies, amazing stat, they only have one false start all season. And then the Detroit Lions, they've got, like, you know, in their offensive line, they're, like, putting up crazy stats, too, where I think they have the least penalties or you know, the least amount of something. So both these offensive lines are strong. I think the issue that you got to see here is the Bears' defense is not as good, and they're not getting as many turnovers as last year. And Jay Cutler's back. But I got a funny feeling coming off the bye. Reggie Bush, Stafford, Burleson's coming back. Calvin Johnson got a week of rest and they're healthy. I think the Detroit Lions go to Chicago and they stop the party of my Bears. And you know, I definitely was rooting for Trestman and Cutler this year. But I think in a good offensive battle, I think the Bears lose. Lions field goal at the end, 27-26, in a great game.
So is Cutler going to be back?
Yeah. Cutler
and
Emmanuel
is he
coming
healthy,
back.
Though? That's the question, right? Because he had that groin injury. Is he going to be healthy?
I think, to be honest with you, I don't know if he finishes the game. And I'm not wishing
that
on him, but I think
fear.
It's a little
even
early for
does,
the groin.
Yeah, even if he does, he might be coming back a little too soon. So I think he won't be at 100%, and I think they need him at 100%. Brandon Marshall is still a stud, but you know what? Chicago's got to score a lot of points to beat this Detroit team because you got to figure Detroit can score. And Chicago, last time they played, was in a shootout with Washington. So I think Detroit's going to put up 31. So the question is, can Chicago put up more than that? I'm not sure, even at home. So I think Detroit wins in this game 31-24. I think it's a Detroit game. And you know what? With Aaron Rodgers down, that NFC North, which I thought was all about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, finally asserting themselves last couple weeks, it's for grabs. And Detroit, you know, if they get it together, they why not? They could take that division.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say this. I mean, we're not going to necessarily break down this game, but I think I picked up Nick Foles, and I think Philly going into Green Bay, this is going to be one of the most fascinating games because I don't know if Green Bay can really do anything.
You're not
with
a fan
Seneca
of Seneca Wallace.
Yeah, and I just Seneca is he's average, and I think Rodgers makes that offense and those wide receivers better. And remember, you've got, you know, no Cobb and no Finley. So you're relying on Jordy Nelson, James Jones is barely healthy, and then the running game. Well, can the Eagles – it's basically going to be can the Eagles stop Eddie Lacy, and then can Foles chew up that secondary? And the Eagles might get an upset there. We'll see. You know what? I'll throw a score on it. I actually say the Eagles go in and shock and upset Green Bay. I say that they win 27-23. Eagles beat.
I don't
Green
even
Bay.
Know if it's an upset. The minute that Aaron Rodgers got listed as being out for 4 to 6 weeks, the spread went down by 8.5 points.
Wow.
So, folks in Vegas were like, "That's not an upset." Anyway, let's do some quick hitting games. So, division, the AFC North, Cincinnati at Baltimore. Well, what are your thoughts on that game?
This one is a good one, and honestly, I just think it comes down to the fact that the Ravens are not running the ball the way they should. Pitta will be back soon, but not soon enough. And I just think the Bengals are like, hey, Michael Johnson and the boys, like, we're good too. James Harrison will play some more, and without Geno Atkins, they go to Baltimore, and they win a tough one. Andy Dalton gets it back going. They win 24-20, Bengals over the Ravens.
Yeah, I have, unfortunately, because of circumstances beyond my control, I have to play Joe Flacco in this game. So I'm hoping that the Ravens can put up some points, but – you know, it's 1 week after the whole Geno Atkins thing. I think Cincinnati's going to figure out how to play without him. I love that Cincinnati offense. You know, now that Jones and Sanu have stepped up, he's got more than enough. Andy Dalton has more than enough firepower. And Giovanni Bernard and the law firm. I think this game is another one of those things where Baltimore doesn't have a good enough defense to stop Cincinnati. So I like Cincinnati in this game, too. I think Cincinnati wins by a touchdown, even in Baltimore.
Okay. What's the score? Give me a score. I want official numbers.
30-23 Cincinnati.
Wow. This is an interesting game. Carolina going to the Niners. I got to say, those Panthers, and these guys were roommates at the NFL training camp or the combine, Kaepernick and Cam Newton. So they're actually friends, and they're very similar players and athletes. So 6-2 against 5-3. I think the Panthers give them all they can handle, but I just think the Niners and Frank Gore, Davis, Bolden, a little bit too much. I think the Niners win 24-20. Panthers play good.
I think the Niners are on a roll. I think the Panthers are a little deceptive. They're not as good maybe as their 4-in-a-row win streak.
And Alden Smith back to practice.
Yeah, exactly. San Francisco is fired up. They're humming. I think that they crushed them, actually. I like San Francisco in this game. Oof. 26-13.
Wow, you're going for the blood. All right, so this is the AFC West. This is interesting. We got the Denver Broncos at the San Diego Superchargers race team.
The best uniforms in all of football, the powder blues, man.
We gotta shout you out. But listen, the question is, can Rivers outscore and outplay Peyton Manning, who Peyton Manning's got 2,900 passing yards and 29
negative
touchdowns? Ridiculous. I say this. Look, Rivers is having a good season. I like Gates and stuff, but I don't think Matthews and your boy Danny Woodhead get enough going on the run game, but I think that they're definitely going to score. Gates, this is a fantasy football dream. I don't know if Julius Thomas is playing or not with his injury. He's listed as questionable, so we'll have to find out probably on game day. I don't even know. They didn't give an official word yet. But I'll say this. I think the Broncos go on and win. I think it's going to be a tough game in San Diego, but I'll go Broncos 34-26.
Yeah, I think something similar. I think the Broncos will win 33-30, something like that. I think that the Chargers will score 10-14 fourth quarter points to make it a game, and I think Phillip Rivers will do his best to impersonate Peyton Manning, but there's really only one Peyton. So, yeah, I like the Broncos here. I like the Broncos to keep rolling, go to 8-1.
Should be a fun battle, though. I mean, definitely should be a fun battle. And then this one right here, Ray, this is up your alley. Let's talk about Sunday Night Football and your Cowboys.
How about them
going
Cowboys?
To New Orleans. Now, this is the problem. Look, I think the Cowboys are just in an unfortunate situation, and it is back to win one, lose one. Well, they beat the Vikings, lost to Detroit, so then now it's time for another loss, and guess what? The Saints are pissed. They just were at New York. They lost. They're 6-2. Cowboys are 5-4, about to go 5-5. I got the Saints. Graham. Sproles is banged up, but Pierre Thomas will do his thing. Breeze and the boys. In a little bit of a shootout, I say that the Saints, I'll go for 30-27. Good, entertaining Sunday night game.
So I'll give you a funny stat. The Dallas is actually averaging more points than New Orleans. And New Orleans, but New Orleans only averaging, so it's one more point, but New Orleans only averaging 18 points allowed. So I actually think New Orleans is a better team than we give them credit for on defense.
Rob Ryan's revenge.
Yep, and Dallas is a win one, lose one kind of team. So I think you're right. I think New Orleans puts up big numbers. I think New Orleans scores 35. I think Dallas maybe can hold tight and score 30, but ultimately New Orleans is just too much at home. If this game were in Dallas, they'd have a chance, but I think Dallas on the win one, lose one goes to 5-5, and that's about what they are, a 500 team. Might win the NFC East, but they're a 500 team.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll say real quick, my little studs and duds, these two games I just got to mention. I think my Steelers will beat the Bills, and I think you got to start Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's going to chew up the Bills' secondary. I think the Steelers win a pretty good game, even though Emmanuel's back and Freddie Jackson and Spiller might get some stats on us. I think Ben Roethlisberger gives you about 300, and the Steelers win, I'll go 24-21. And I just want to tell you real quick, my dud is the Oakland Raiders, whether it's Terrell Pryor quarterbacking or even their defense and Eli and the boys, they wake up on the Raiders and maybe win like 30-16.
Okay. All right.
Who's your little fantasy stud and dud?
My stud is going to be Colby Fleener. I think he's going to step up. I have him in my league, so I got him to do a big game against St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to bounce back.
Look, I need Jake Locker. I forgot to say that. Jake Locker is going to do work on Jacksonville.
Oh, really? Because I was about to say, that's my dud. I think this is the week.
Ooh.
I think Jacksonville goes into Tennessee. Even though he ran for 150 last week, I think they stop Chris Johnson, and I think they stop Nate Washington, and they stop Jake Locker. Jacksonville, the Jaguars, they win their game.
Ladies and gentlemen, on a limb, you're going with the Jaguars?
I hate Jaguars. I'm not even picking them at home. I'm saying they go on the road.
You give it a shout-out to George Reister, huh? Okay.
A decent Tennessee team, a 4-4 Tennessee team, and the Jaguars win their first.
Man, listen, what's going to happen is Sean Green and Chris Johnson are going to get rushing touchdowns.
Fired up.
Definitely. It's going to be fun. Great show. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to mention to you one thing we missed. This is going to be interesting for those Red Sox fans and baseball fans to our show. The Red Sox might be trying to go after Carlos Beltran from the Cardinals. Wouldn't that be fascinating?
Yankees are, Red Sox are. Everybody's trying to go after
Wouldn't that be fascinating? So, hey, great show. Let's have a great weekend. Veterans Day, we'll still be with you on Monday, man, to cap up everything Monday evening. So thanks for listening, and thanks for talking sports
with friends. We are
man.
Out.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's that boy, Crazy Killer. Right now.
Son, well, truth be told, I'm more like a younger brother, cause I've been around since people thought Dana Lyric were brothers, and my philosophy is to master several.